Welcome to the Saturday set. We are back, baby. You fired up, King Zone?
I am. I'm fired up. Group racing's coming back and I'm looking forward to spring.
It's been a long, dreary winter, hasn't it?
It has. I've been here grinding away while you've been over in France enjoying yourself. I only had a very short break, but yeah, been grinding away. Had a great March, great April, great May, great half of June, and then the black cloud came over and I've had a horrible, horrible 5 weeks. So,
okay.
I mean, hopefully the end of it, but we'll see.
But spring's when you're at your best. That's when you spring the most.
Never been more confident.
Great.
As I said to Fitz the other day, I've never, ever been more confident.
Let's bring him in. The Fizz, how are you, mate?
Yes, welcome back, boys.
Yeah, should be a long, hard campaign. We need you, mate. You're our Mark Taylor, our Ricky Ponting, just that strike batsman.
Definitely not Mark Taylor.
Okay, Ricky Ponting? Ricky Ponting.
I'll go for Ricky.
Steve Smith, based on last season's. He was up in the high 20s in the percentage on turnover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty good score.
That's Smuts type stuff.
Let's get into it. Let's do what we do best. Let's talk horse racing. We've got three feature races today. We're going to go around the grounds. We've got a couple sprints and we've got a long distance or a middle distance race at the Valley. Let's kick off at Randwick HQ in New South Wales. We've got the Missile Stakes Private Eye up the top there. Ran third in the Stradbroke last start. If he performs to his best, he's better than all of these, but there's a bit of conjecture. He might not run because I saw a story in RaceNet saying that Drove Pride might trial him tomorrow at Warwick Farm instead because he's worried about the heavy conditions. Fizz, you're normally across this kind of stuff. Do you think Private Eye will run?
I don't know if Private Eye will run, but look, I know they're predicting a little bit more rain and we had a bit last night and it's not going to be, let's be realistic, it's not going to dry out between now and Saturday, but I don't think there's as much rain as there was obviously the week previously where it just didn't stop raining. So we'll see what happens with Private Eye, but yeah, we're going to be on a heavy track, I'd say.
Well, there's been money for him. He's sort of 330 into about 250. So I'm not sure whether the bookies just read that article and bought him in a bit or there's actually people pretty confident. So it'd be interesting to see. One thing before I get your thoughts on
this. Are you saying the bookies brought him in to try and get the deductions up? Is that what you're alluding to?
I'm a bookies man, so I would never say that. You know who won this race last year?
No.
Your horse, Schwartz.
Oh, anyway, really?
Yeah, before Schwartz. Before it went on to win the, what was it, the William Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the autumn, obviously. Anyway, what did you make of this race?
I just want to talk about the track first. So 2 weeks ago they raced when it was raining at Randwick. I think it was a soft six or soft seven. And they started not one leader one and they got off the fence on that day, especially down the last sort of three or four races, really came down the middle of the track.
Mm-hmm.
The fence wasn't the place to be, but the rail was out 10 metres that day. Now the rail goes back into the true position. And based on a lot of my analysis and going backwards, it actually, which surprised me, and it was the same at Rose Hill when I looked at it last week, barriers one and two have an advantage and also leaders have an advantage, which is quite surprising. Are you surprised by that, Fitz, just from your eye at Randwick?
I don't know. I find that Randwick can be a bit deceiving. I do think that Randwick is quite leaderish normally. So, the stats – that you just
when
said,
the rail's in the true though?
Yeah, when the rail is in the
true. It seems like a big difference where the rail is at
Randwick. Well, 10 metres is a long way out, right?
Yeah.
And then it becomes a completely different ball game. But yeah, I do think that generally, especially Rose Hill especially as well, generally quite leaderish when the rail's true.
So in this race, Private Eye's drawn barrier two, assuming it runs obviously, barrier two I think will sit probably third fence, which I think is not a good position to be in. Clearly the class horse in the race coming out of a Strati where he ran third, got the best class speed weight ratings, got the best cam rating, got the best cruising rating, class horse in the race, two from
These
six
are King
on a
zone metrics you're talking
they
about.
They are, two from six on a heavy track. And also I'm not that like fairly well weighted for how the class sort of 57.5.
Astral Wheeler has treated him well.
I can't find many negatives with Private Eye apart from the price at $2.45, which I think is probably around the right price. So I think definitely the horse to beat. General Salute, second pick. Barrier one will get back. I think that General Salute's chances are very much track bias dependent.
Yeah, right.
Barrier one going to get back. So if it is hard to make ground there, then General Salute will probably drift, you would have to think. If the inside's not much good, General Salute will drift as well. So 420, Ladbrokes are leading the way at $4.20. All the other bookies, actually been 420 to 380 with all the other bookies.
Uh-huh.
And Ladbrokes have just left their 420 there. So they're obviously against General Salute. I think General Salute's got a chance, but it's not a horse I would back, but a clear chance. I thought the value in the race was Brudenell.
Yep.
Who's pretty versatile, has got good acceleration, can go forward and put itself into the race, but can also just sit off. I thought, have you seen the trial fits? Brudenell's trial at Gosford?
Brudenell's trial.
Great trial.
Yeah, it was a good trial.
Up at Gosford. I thought $8 was the value in the race. So those were my picks in order. That Robusto at $6. I'd love to take evens. Brudenell beats Robusto home.
Okay, back in distance, Robusto.
Yeah, it's a funny placement. Bjorn Baker obviously knows what he's doing, but to me it looked a funny placement coming back to
1,200.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe a bit short, but I think Robusto will drift in the market. Okay. So if I'm playing in this race, which I may or may not, I want to wait and see what the track's doing.
Yep.
But the two horses I could be on are Private Eye and Brudenell.
Okay, good stuff. Fizz, anything more to add?
Not a whole lot. My tips are pretty much the same as King's. I thought Brudenell was the value. I liked its trial, and at $8, it's the only bet I could have in the race. Private Eye worries me. King said he thinks it'll sit third fence, so I'm reluctant to think it'll sit that close myself. I think it might be further back than
that.
What
do you got leading?
Electrica.
Okay.
Leading. I think there's a little bit more speed than, I don't know. I just don't want the old legs. 1,200 metres back from 1,400 worries me a little bit with Private Eye. I don't know. Yep. It's come out top pick on my ratings.
It's just class though with it.
Yeah, it has. And you can see why with the 57.5 kilos. Look, General Salute was my third pick, but I wasn't going to step into it. So, yeah, I'm not going to say much more other than Brudenell probably is the horse I'd have something on at $8.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to Moonee Valley. We're going to go over the Cox Plate distance for the Travis Harrison Cup. Now, I've got a replay to play. It's one of the winter stars down there. Sayadati Sadati. So it won, I think it was July the 19th, back at Flemington. Here we've got it here. We'll pick it out. It's in the Australian Bloodstock Collars. There it is. Beautiful.
Great ride.
Let's watch it truck home.
Had every possible hope this day and it really let down and did well. But a brilliant ride from Craig Williams.
Main dangers in the race as well. Nelly Lilac second. Coming, it's two off the fence there.
Yeah, so I think five horses in this race line up in the race that we're about to look at, the Travis Harrison.
Mm.
So probably a pretty good win. It looked it was going to be a bit dogged, but then it really pulls away nicely. Another interesting thing about this race is a lot of the horses in this race are treating it as a lead up to the Archer. So the Archer is on Mackaybe Diva Stakes Day on September the 13th at headquarters, Flemington.
Mm.
And if you win that, you get a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. So this is a bit of a springboard into that to try and get guaranteed into the Melbourne Cup. This is obviously over 2,040 metres. I've said enough. Over to you.
I thought Sadati was under the odds, goes up in weight and goes to Moonee Valley as well. The horse, and I'll talk about why what I just said in a sec, but the only horse that I could be, I think it's a pretty hard race, but the only horse that I could be on is number 9, Nelly Lalax, who was in that race, ran fourth. But this Moonee Valley suits Nelly better than what Flemington does, I think. I think Flemington and Moonee Valley are completely different setups. One goes up in weight in Sadati, the other comes down in weight in Nelly as well. Fifth run over from the UK. Will sit on pace, got a rank one cruising off the TKZ metrics as well. And I think the price, one's $6 and the other one's $3.30. I'm not saying Sadati can't win the race, but
Nelly gets a lot of weight off the top weights, doesn't it? Look at Berkeley Square and Relentless Voyager and stuff.
Yep.
Big weight off them.
And what's a great combination is a cruising one metric at a track like Moonee Valley that is predominantly leaderish, combined with a horse down in the weights that has a good weight advantage over the field. And you can see the spread of weights there. There is quite a good spread. And I love betting in races where there is a good spread of weights, especially in higher class races. So Sadati does get two kilos off for Logan Bates, but still carrying 57, which is high. So it goes up a couple of kilos as well. So that's what I think. Pretty hard race. I was 9 from 7 were my numbers in this race.
Fizz, what are your thoughts on this race, mate?
Yeah, no worries, mate. Impossible. But I found a few at odds in this race. So number 4, Casino 17. This horse sort of like peaked. It loomed up last start over 2,530 metres in a longer race.
Yep.
It looked to me like it didn't stay that trip. So back to the 2,040, I think, suits Casino 17 from the inside draw. And I actually had Test the Law, Adelaide winner last start, as my second pick. It's a really ordinary rating race from what I could see, this whole bunch. So, you know, anything goes here. I'm not overly confident, but they were my top two picks, Casino 17 and Tesla Law.
All right, beautiful. We're going to go to Morpheville, race 7, the Behemoth Stakes, a group 3 sprint race. Big race over there. Now, Sakala was a 3-year-old filly, is now a 4-year-old filly. It's favoured in this race. I didn't know much about it, so I thought we should watch the replay of it winning last
start. Fitz was on last start.
Here it is. So we'll get it shadowed out so we can see it. There it is. Okay.
Now look how wide it is. Fitz was the how wet was the track that day?
That's where you want it to be. Yeah, okay. That's the way.
Complete bog?
Yeah, it was a bog. It was the heavy track when Up the Den actually ran that day.
Yeah, it ran well.
Yeah, so that was bottomless, that track, by that stage. And look, this horse had never been on a
heavy
track before. It had been on a soft track, but you didn't know what you were going to get. Look, it's a winning horse. I've been on it at all three starts that it's won at.
Yep.
A really interesting race. It's just got to go
race,
up,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's really got to go up to a new level. I'll have a chat about this one.
All
if
right,
you
well,
want
let's, yeah, let's you take it away. Let's bring the market up as you talk. So we
yeah,
have
no
context.
Worries. So first thing I'd like to say is I just don't understand how the two is $4.40 recommendation. Okay. I don't know. Is it the trainer? It's just going.
Well, like, it's coming out of class of race. So I don't like it either. But it's, I guess it's the you know the class horse of the race.
It went to Hong Kong for International Day. So that I mean,
yeah,
I
get that. But I just look at its runs, right? Yeah,
it's been out class its last few starts.
Barrier one goes straight to the front.
Maybe it's back into its right level.
Yeah, I don't know if it will go to the front. It's a good argument. I think Cumin will go to the front. So. Let's see what happens.
Cumin won the Oakley Plate last
year. Yeah, look, Cumin failed at its last two prior to the spell. Cumin trialled really, really well, like a bullet. It'll go to the front and give you a run for your money. Look, I have Is It Me as a bet, and it's a clear bet for me. This horse went to new heights last time in. Really, really good runs its last three when it won. I didn't mind its jump out. They gave it a good knockabout. They made sure that it was like has the fitness under its legs for the 1200. The way it was winning last prep, I'm really happy to be on it. But my only concern is the map looks bad for it. It could be the only one to get caught three wide, no cover. And that's my biggest concern. But I'm hoping there's a good ride there from Billy Egan and he gets cover. Look, I'll quickly talk about Sakala. What you see is what you get, but it's got to go up in class. It's a winner, knows how to find the line, but geez, it's racing in a harder race than its face
and
so
3-year-old filly just gone 4. So.
Yeah, so to me, maybe a little bit under the odds. I can see the potential there, but I think it's a little bit under the odds. Lingani won on a bottomless track, loves the wet. It's going to be drying this weekend, so not so fussed about it. And the other ones I don't really have any time for. So recommendation Allay, Is It Me's a bet, Sakala's a good hope.
And this is immediately like it's an official bet. Are we striking our first blow?
It's going to be official.
Wow. Oh, there we go.
It's a bad ball outside off and you just hammered it.
Ladbrokes are betting $4. Well, we're betting $4.80. The price is lesser there.
Okay.
Looks a good bet to me. Look, it's a bit of a bulletproof.
Is it a max bet?
I don't know. I've had a little dip and we'll see what happens on Saturday. And if I want to have a little bit more on, we'll might maximise it.
I just want to ask you from a form perspective, Fitz. Sakala, heavy 10. Did a lot of work there, sat wide, heavy 10, did win.
Yep.
Do you think that takes something like a pretty lightly raced horse, 3 starts, 3 wins?
Yeah.
Do you think that takes something out of the legs of a horse like Sakala?
I think it will. I do think that it's going to be vulnerable in this race because it's going to be back on the drying surface and as the other horses are all fresh.
Yeah.
And it's got to go up in class and handle that pressure of a more classy race. So, yeah, I think it's vulnerable. Cool. I think that it's a very good horse, but... Geez, you're taking its favourite. I'm a little bit surprised that the order of the favouritism in this race.
I'm with you there. If I was a bookie, I'd be putting recommendation and Sakala in and really filling the bag up, Richard, filling that bag and having everything else go for me. So the horses that I thought were decent value in the race was, which you guys spoke about, was Cumin.
Mm.
4 trials. Am I right in this? 4 trials or jump outs for 4 wins coming in. Hasn't raced since April of 2024.
I think I saw $17 yesterday.
Seems a good price.
Yeah.
This sort of horse I often like to wait and see, but at, you know, $17, which you're talking, or 12, you just bet and hope. But and we'll go forward. I thought we'll either lead, as Fitz said, or sit outside of recommendation. The other horse, which we haven't spoken about that I thought was good odds, was Dubai Poet.
Mm-hmm.
1,400 back to 1,200. Runs a strong 1,200, which I think you'll need to do to win this race. Michael Hickmont, Todd Pannell, great combo. Barrier 3, Posse's up just behind the pace. So I thought those were my two without being overly confident about them, but I just thought they were decent prices. Overlays, as I like to call them.
Very good. I'm going to stay with you for your Saturday set, please.
My official Saturday first set of the tips season. For the first of the season with a big spring coming up. So I've got three.
Okay.
The first is at Randwick Race 5, number 6, Bonita Queen. Mm. And if you go and have a look at the trial, which if you haven't, you should do, because Bonita Queen beats the favourite Private Eye for the missile and leads, showed a lot of pace. One goes well on a soft track. Not sure how, if has been tested on the heavy, but if my bias is corrected, I think where leaders are going to be advantaged, I'm keen to back Bonita Queen because I think she'll go straight to the front. Tip two, Eagle Farm, race 4, number 7, Free Carry. Peak rating last start over 1350. It looks like it's a 1600 metre horse, but can go fresh, 1400, as I just said. Peak rating, Ipswich, 1350. Going to go straight to the front or sit on pace as well. Looks a really good price to me at 460.
Okay.
The other one's Morpheville, race 1, number 7, Peter's Heart. Completely unsuited first up. Got too far back. Draws barrier 1. Has upside and is really well weighted. And I like – actually, it's been – I'd probably wait on it because it's someone smart in the market's come in at 10 a.m. this morning while I was doing the form and smashed their price from 480 to 360. So I'd probably just wait on the price, might ease back out. Yep. But those are my three official Saturday set tips, and my confident level is that high that I can't even reach up.
Let's go. Fizzle, we're going to start with you. We've got Is It Me first, don't we? Because we've already talked about that.
Yeah, so Is It Me, we had a quick chat about. First up, you're getting a good price to find out for a very good horse. We'll go to Eagle Farm, race 9, number 3, this horse, Bellegato. It was stiff last start, sat 3 and 4 deep on a good tempo at the Sunshine Coast. It's had a mid-prep trial. I liked the trial, didn't knock it about. And the only concern is the barrier this weekend, but I think there's plenty of tempo and it should sit just beyond the tempo and hopefully get a good chance to come down the centre of the track at the Eagle Farm where they've been coming lately. And then we'll go to Moonee Valley for one bet. Look, this horse was super impressive first up. Race 6, number 11, Escher. This horse won in Adelaide, went to the front and gave nothing else a hope. Its trial, which I think we're going to put on now.
There it is now. Let's watch it. Yeah.
Is worth looking at. I like the fact they did exactly what they did in the race here. Uh-huh. So they went straight out, they went at pace, and they did what I hope they do this weekend at the Valley is go straight to the front.
Okay, and just say ta-ta.
And then just say, catch me if you can. And look, to me, its ratings are good enough. It's lightweight. It goes forward. Everything ticks a box for me about a horse like that, and that's why I'm happy to take the $2.05 that's on offer.
Okay, a bit of can be an anchor for people's punting day.
Hopefully.
All right. Hey, Kingzone, Ladbrokes are back on board again. We appreciate fantastic. Our friends at Ladbrokes. We've become quite good mates with all the people in the digital team there because they've been doing a lot with them over the last couple of years. And there's a good feature now is that – so Ladbrokes are on the Den exclusively, and you can deep link – to the Ladbrokes app from the Woofden app. So, you know, we put copy bets up and you can go straight into the Ladbrokes app, into the bet slip, put the amount you want and then just send it through and then come back into the Den. So it's a nice little feature there.
So you've got to be logged into your Ladbrokes account.
You've got to have the app downloaded, the Ladbrokes app downloaded on your phone and be logged in. And then it'll take, and if you're not logged in, it'll just take you through, but then you'd have to log in anyway. But if you stay logged in on the Ladbrokes app and you're on the Den and you see a bet you wanted to cap, you can literally just hit copy bet on the Woofden app. It'll take you straight to Ladbrokes. And away you go, you copy, and then you
seamless.
Come back. Seamless.
I just get Jay Shams and go bang.
That's it. So, well, the punter
is that
of the
free
year.
Money, Fitz? Jay Shams?
Just unbelievable. What a run. Yeah.
And the best thing about Jay Sham is that he's so keen to try and help us all in the Den. You know, he's got that new bankroll challenge over spring. Thank you, Jay Sham, for doing that. We'll definitely get Jay Sham in over the springtime if he's willing to come in. He's usually pretty happy to. But we've got a lot of exciting things happening with Ladbrokes. We've got the Mates Mode pots, which I do. I'll be in charge of them. You'll be helping with them.
When's the first one kick off?
First one's going to be for Winx Stakes Day. So what's that, the 23rd of August? So
okay, a couple of weeks.
Just over 2 weeks away. So we're going to do 15 in total. I think 3 on the Greyhounds, 1 on Hong Kong, maybe 11 on the racing. So that'll be fun. A lot of other good things. We're doing a little piece of content in and around the Saturday set as well. So that's Ladbrokes. In King's Own, we've some fallen comrades over the winter period. It's a very sad period. We lost some big names. Big figures, really, in our little world. Gordo from The Rant, that was very sad news we heard about, wasn't
Terrible.
It?
Terrible. Shocking. Yeah. Shocking. So
Mark,
sad.
Mark and Glenn, they're sort of the godfathers of this whole kind of punter-focused content stuff. I think Gordo, here he is up on the screen now, happy and cheerful as ever. You've got the great Roy Key up on the top right, and then you've got Mark, of course, in the top left, and there's Gordo. his usual animated self down the bottom there. Anyway, he we lost him very unexpectedly. I think it was about 3 weeks ago. His funeral was on Tuesday this week, I believe. So we just want to pay our respects to the Rant family and, of course, Mark and Glenn and Gordo's family. And, yeah, really, really sad news. And Fizzer, another one we lost, very close mate of yours, yep. Very close mate of all of ours, the Doctor.
Yeah.
So many people watching this show would probably recognise Mike Middleton. There he's in the middle there with some of the greats. You got Nick Thomas, who's worked for Rob for a long time, had a lot to do with us. There's King with a lot shorter hair. Billy Story, one of the greats of the bettering. And there's the great man, Mr. Mike Dr. Middleton in the middle there. And then Fizzer, you on the end. I think that's about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm.
But he was an ornament in the betting ring, wasn't he, in Sydney for probably 50 years or something?
He was. He was one of the most positive, beautiful men that I've ever met. He's such a great man. And we gave him a great send-off last week. Yeah, very, very, very sad to lose him.
And one of the things I love, when I first started working the races, I don't know whether he said it to me out of the track or one night having a beer. I was young, I was 18 or 19. He said, "You cannot survive on Clark's wages. You must bet. You must have a bet." And I love betting when I was out there. And so many times I'd duck and weave and do my best and walk out of the track with my 150 wages, but also win a monkey on the punt. And it made my young years so much better. You know, I could keep up with the circuit that way. But Fizz, he was a very important man to you.
Yeah, he was, mate. He asked me to join his punters club about maybe 10 years ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined up with him and Renee and all their friends from different walks of life. He just had different people, not racetrack people actually, just different friends they had that they were in a punters club together. Mike was always happy. I'd drop in and see him when he was in Mossman working for his son-in-law. He'd just help out with the family, go there, knew nothing about air conditioning, would go there and people would walk into the air conditioning shop and Mike would just start talking to him. And he just had the best personality and he's an absolute champion and he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, very good.
You just keep doing what you're doing.
He's a good boy. Loved a story, had some great yarns. And, he loved listening to stories. He loved telling them and always had a smile on his face. Good bloke.
And, Kings, we're going to talk about Ray Hopkins, who's one of the biggest figures in betting over the last 70, 80 years. We might bring the bird in because he's very qualified to talk about Ray Hopkins' legacy.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in, Adam.
Always a pleasure to be in the den.
Yeah, so Ray Hopkins, I didn't know him personally. He was sort of taking life a bit more quiet when I came into the game, like late 90s and whatnot, but he was a very revered figure. And I thought to just sort of put some context to why I'm, trying to show all the viewers out here that he was a really important legacy in Australian wagering and betting and bookmaking and everything. I thought I'd go back to the interview that I did with Rob Waterhouse back, I think it was a couple of years ago now. And I asked Rob, I say, Bill Waterhouse, who's the biggest bookie Australia's ever seen, correct?
Absolutely.
I said, so who did Bill Waterhouse, the biggest bookie Australia's ever seen, have the biggest battles with?
Mm.
Anyway, let's go and see what Rob Waterhouse says. And to finish off, Bill, who did he have the biggest tussles with, the biggest battles with? Obviously, there's the Philippe Ismail and those kind of – was the one that really stood out?
Well, a person stands out all the time. He's such an extraordinary man, was Ray Hopkins.
Yes.
Ray Hopkins just dominated racing for 30 or 40 years, didn't he? Up and down, up and down, up and down.
So he'd sort of retired, for want of a better term. I came into the game like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had I could see, sort of stopped betting. But everyone talked about him being...
Well, he was the they. When they said, they've backed so-and-so, when you drill down, you actually found it was Ray.
Right. So he was incredibly well connected, but also was he a very good gambler?
I think he was a good judge. I'm not saying he wasn't well connected, but he most certainly paid a lot of attention to trackmen. And I'd say he had a flaw. He wasn't a terribly good gambler, but that might be – he might disagree with me.
Yeah. And did your dad fear him as a punter?
Well, Dad looked for his business, but he most certainly respected him very much, and he was to be respected. You know, he was a tough punter, I suppose. He used to always bet with Dad first because Dad had bet him a decent bet.
All right, there you go, Bird. First question: you think Bill Waterhouse feared anybody as a bookie?
Oh, I think I don't know whether he feared them's the right word. I'm sure he judged them.
Mm.
You know, different people to different levels. But Bill was a very fearless bookmaker, you know. I think he's probably the biggest – a single person would probably be the biggest bookmaker in the history of the world.
Sure.
I know that might
but you could lay a lot of runners back then. If Ray backed number one, he could bet him to win whatever a big bet and then, you know,
there was a cuddle
it and lay the favourite or...
But yeah. Ray would be betting to win a couple hundred thousand, right, 40, 50 years ago, which is the guts of 5-10 million now. So,
well, I can tell you one story. When the great man, and I call him great man because I knew him most of my life, he was a wonderful person, Ray, to start with, a lady named Lynn Black, who used to work for George Freeman in the SP days. And, of course, Ray used to do a lot of business with George and with every other big SP operator in Sydney and every bookmaker in Sydney, for that matter. And she was telling me the story. One day he rang up to back a horse called All Shot, which was a great horse. And to give you some idea what timeline we're speaking about, it ran second to Gun Cindy in 1972 and the Cox played All Shot. So this bet would have been 73 or 74 probably. And he said to Lynn, as much as you can on All Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she'd ring back and say, how much have I got? No mobiles in those days. He would have been probably ringing from outside the course or wherever. And Lynn said to him, you got 200,000 on it. And Ray said to her, God give it strength. And she said, it did win. And, you know, she said, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
So that's the size he was betting.
Well,
yeah.
On today's money, 200,000 in 1973 or four, whenever it was, it's probably, if you bought a house for 200,000, it'd be worth 20 million now.
Yeah. Yeah.
To give you some idea. So they talk about the biggest punters in the history of the game. You know, they all talk Kerry Packer this. Kerry Packer inherited a fortune, used to probably make 5 or 10 million every week. So if he lost 5 million, he's getting it next week. Ray, that's all he did.
Yeah. So he made all his money from punting.
Punting and bookmaking. Yeah. He was a bookmaker, a big bookmaker. But I suppose the thing that I was told about by my dad, who knew him very well and knew him a long time, the thing that he did, so to put give you the picture of the day back in the 70s and before then, you could back a horse to win as much as you like SP. You could also back a dog or a trotter to win as much as you like SP, right? Now, what Ray did, Ray stopped SP bookmakers betting on the dogs.
Wow. Mm.
Now, he can be credited. And George Freeman and another bloke who's still alive who lives in Queensland, a former bookie and well-known guy, he probably, if you're watching, hello, I won't mention your name, they put the SP bookies out of business on the trots.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? So you can still get on for as much as you like with the horses, but dogs and trots were a bit like it is with the corporate bookies now, try and back a dog for any money.
Yeah.
Or a trot.
Why were they betting SP, do you think?
Well, there was
the only thing you could get on it, right?
Well,
On Track was huge.
On Track was huge as well, but the SP was just as big.
Right.
It was sort of the equivalent of Top Flight, wasn't it? Sort of like the
same as I said, and of course, you know, they wouldn't back them on course, so they try and drift out. I think why he would have backed the dogs, no doubt they were pushing the price of the dogs out at Wentworth Park. Well, in Harold Park at the time, you know, they would have been taking, they'd probably push him out to 7-1 and they probably should have been fucking 5-4 on or something, you know. And as I said, it stopped SP bookmakers betting on the dogs.
Yeah.
And another story that I heard, this came from Melbourne, Mick Bartley, who was one of the biggest SP operators in Australia, who Ray used to do a lot of business with. That's actually where I first met Ray Hopkins one day. I was there with my dad. I was about 9, I reckon. I was very young. And he was there. Ray, and that's probably the first time, but I'd heard of him even as a 9-year-old, you know, over here in the conversations of Jack and his friends talk about Hopkins, they always called him. Anyway, but I believe one Saturday it would have been, because it was only races on Saturdays then, there was no Sunday meetings. He turned $1 million over one Saturday with Melbourne Mick. And in those days, you get 5% commission back.
Mm. Yeah.
So Mick earned 50,000 commission out of it.
Yeah.
But and that would have been, you know, in the mid 70s or whatever. So you're turning $1 million over on a Saturday.
And you get 5% commission.
Yeah, well.
You, everyone would get 5% commission.
So what percentage would the bookies have been betting? 115, 120 or something?
Oh, probably 120, I'd say, in those days. But the SP. Well,
would you like 5% Com King?
I'd love 1% Com.
Yeah. Well, but what that was about. It was a way of the bookmaker give you 5% com, not only to get your business. And you got to remember something. People had the yellow guide out of the sun as your form guide.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it was only the professionals who had photo form.
There was no ChatGPT.
There was nothing. No computers. Well, computers didn't come around until, 25 years ago or so. The internet.
Yeah.
I know they had NASA might have had some computers, but the punters didn't have them. It was very hard to win punting. And, of course, when you're laying them SP, any money, they've already firmed, so you're laying them at the bottom probably most of the time.
Yeah. And how old was Ray when he passed, Adam?
93. He was exactly 10 years younger than my father. I remember it was. He was nearly 93. A couple of weeks before he was 93.
To finish up, is that sort of the end of that era? You know, I mean, Bill.
Of course it is. Yeah.
So that's Ray was one of the sort of the last living legends, really, of that era, of that huge betting
with the great punters,
betting in houses and
absolutely. Well, without a doubt, he's been the biggest punter. He started in the early 60s, probably 1960. I think he sort of came to light, and he was still a big force up until the early 90s, and then through the 90s, well, he started betting down more. But, but he's also a very much loved person by everyone. He was a good bloke, Ray.
Yeah.
A great bloke.
Well, thank you for coming in, mate. I thought it was important we pay respect to the comrades fallen and the old times and that. So, yeah.
Well done.
Anyway, it's good to be back, King Zone.
It is good to be back. Yeah, it's good. Let's back some winners, eh?
Time to rip right in. Thanks for watching. We'll see you in the den on Saturday, and we'll see you next week.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.